open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. All persons in attendance are advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. And I ask whether there are any elected members' declarations of interest to be made. Yes, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wish to declare an interest in the Audit Committee item, although I will be nominating as a nominee for that committee. I have a professional relationship with one of the independent members, so I feel that it's probably best for me to leave the room for that one.
Thank you. Okay. We are looking for confirmation of the minutes of the General Council meeting held on 28 October 2014. Moved Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Hutchison, and I think the record will show they were both there at the time, so that's good. I put the motion, all those in favour, all those against, that's carried. I declare that it was carried unanimously. Just took me a while to figure it out. But adjourned items, there are nil. Deputations, there are nil. Petitions, there are nil. Matters lying on the table, there are nil. Committee recommendations, there are nil. There are no workshops or presentation items, and so we move to corporate reports for decision. Results of the 2014 local government elections. Mr. Searle. Take it as, so there's a recommendation to note. Is that moved? That's moved by Councillor Hull, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, all those against, that's carried unanimously. The appointment of the date, time and place of council meetings. There's a motion before the council. Moved Councillor Hull. Do you wish to speak to it, Councillor Hull?
Only to clarify that the schedule is as we discussed on Sunday, which is different to what appears in the report.
That's right. So can I clarify with staff what is the, or where can councillors read the motion that is recommended? Is it the one on the screen shown in the council chamber?
Through the chair, yes, it is the one on the screen in the council chamber. You will see that under item one, there has been some amendments in regards to what is printed in the difference in what's reported in your agenda, in that February and March will only hold one general council meeting.
Yes, so, and does it need any further clarification? Someone like Councillor Valescu. Yes. When members of the council met over the weekend to have an induction session, we discovered there was so much that new members needed to become more familiar with before proceeding to council motions. Because once in the council chamber, motions tend to be a bit cut and dried, yes or no, a bit formal. There were many, many issues which needed a round table discussion, informal discussions. And on the Tuesdays when formal council meetings aren't taking place in February and March, the proposal is for members to meet informally in what we call an elected members forum. Where briefings can take place and free-flowing discussion can take place. That means, I believe, that we will be more efficient when we come to the formal council meetings. There'll still be discussion, but at least we'll know how to shape the motions to be brought to council and save wasting time by having, for example, every member speak and want to speak even more. So the rationale was essentially that January, after a holiday period, there would be one formal meeting. Originally, there was thinking that February to November there would be two formal council meetings, but because of the reasons I mentioned, in February and March we'll have more time for informal discussion between councillors and just the two formal council meetings. So that was a good question. Thank you, Councillor Velasco. Someone like to move the motion? It's moved, Councillor Hull, seconded Councillor Byram. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. We now come to some of the committee... we come to the appointment of Deputy Mayor. And there is a... I'm looking for a motion from the floor for an appointment for the position of Deputy Mayor from November 2014 to November 2015. Moved, Councillor Hull. What's your motion? All right, Councillor Hutchison is the nominee. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Crossland. Any discussion? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. And I need to note that Councillor Hutchison had left the room for that discussion. We've got that in the minutes. Very well, we move on to the next item, and that is the establishment of the Chief Executive Officer Performance Review Committee and appointment of members. Councillor Velescu.
I wish to move that Council appoints Councillor Raylene Telfer to the Chief Executive Review Committee for the next 12 months.
Is that seconded? Councillor Gard. Yes, now with all of these motions, there were discussions over the weekend about the various committees, and because it's a new council, there was quite a bit of discussion about being able to review the work of the committees at an appropriate time. And I note that the terms of reference of this committee are to be reviewed according to this motion, commencing in July 2015 to be concluded before November 2015. Nonetheless, the committee will have work to do before then, because there's an annual review of the Chief Executive Officer's position, etc. So we have the motion moved and seconded. Any discussion? There being no discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Now we turn to the Strategic Directions Committee. For the benefit of members of the gallery, this is a committee that something of this nature has to be instituted by the council according to law. And the way we have had this committee running in the past is for there to be four independent members, and all of the members of council are invited to attend the meetings for those strategic discussions as well. But one of the councillors chairs that meeting, and of course that's an important role because it involves setting the agenda and communicating with the independent members out of session. So I'm looking for a motion which will include the nominee, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to nominate Councillor Velescu for that position, please, and can we also remove point four from the motion? I think because we can do it just with point three, can we not?
I note... Right, copy. So I invite Cathy Jarrett, Director of Governance, to make a comment in relation to the suggestion. Before the motion is formally moved, we'll just seek clarification.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. The motion or the recommendation in relation to the appointment of independent members to the Strategic Directions Committee. Currently, the appointment of the previous independent members has lapsed, so we do need to reappoint independent members. The previous independent members, three of them, Mr. Chris Daniels, Mr. Darren Billsborough and Mr. Marty Govan, we believe will be interested in being reappointed. We do understand that Mr. John Bastian is not interested in being reappointed as an independent member of the committee. If the council does not make an appointment at this meeting, we will need to appoint, if so council desires, to have independent members as part of the committee's composition to undertake a process of search for the appointment of independent members to the committee.
So is it the view of... I'd invite council. Is it the view of the council that we move the motion... leaving aside the nominations for independent members. Councillor Pfeiffer, you raised the point at first. What's your view?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm, in terms of continuity, I'm quite comfortable with nominating those three for reappointment, noting that we will be reconsidering it in the middle of the year. Is that correct?
Certainly, we will be looking to commence a review of the Strategic Directions Committee terms of reference and composition in July, with the view to bringing recommendations back to Council in November for the rest of the term of the Council. So the recommendation is to make this appointment for 12 months period, which allows the status quo to remain to give the opportunity for this new Council to experience the Strategic Directions Committee and therefore input to the review process commencing in July.
Thank you, Your Worship. On that basis, I am comfortable with moving the nomination of those three out of the four members, being Professor Daniels, Mr. Govan and Mr. Billsborough. We can come back to it later on this year.
So that's the motion from Councillor Pfeiffer, as appears on the screen. Is that seconded? That's seconded by Councillor Byram. Any discussion? Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, it's been a long time since I've said Mr. Mayor. It's just dawned on me. Previous era. I'm quite happy with the motion, but I just want to reiterate publicly that there's more to this motion than nominating Councillor Valesco and three of the other chaps. There is a significant price tag attached to the embedding of independent members, which is something that I do support. However, for the four of those chaps, there was a $4,000 a meeting price tag. And I think that we should be trying to get the most we can for the ratepayers from that amount of money. And therefore, I know Councillor Valesco is not here, but if he is to be elected chair, and I'm sure he will be, that's one of the tasks that he would have as chair, and for that matter, the administration and all of us, to try and actually extract the most we can out of those minds, and they are good minds, and also try and find an appropriate replacement for John. So that's my little bit on this particular issue.
Well said. Councillor Hutchison.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a question. My question is, do we have a planned agenda for the first half of the year for the Strategic Directions Committee?
I'd invite staff to comment.
Thank you, through Mayor Hannah. We do have an agenda for the first meeting, or a planned agenda for the first meeting of the Strategic Directions Committee in February. We haven't yet actually got additional meetings planned, but we'll certainly work through that with Councillor Valescu. I think that the outcomes of the Council's discussions during February and March in terms of the strategic directions of the City of Marion and the Council will inform the agenda for the Strategic Directions Committee throughout the year. But certainly we'll have those discussions with Councillor Valescu.
So I take it, Ms Jarrett, that there's scope for councillors to determine what that agenda for the February meeting is to be.
Absolutely, you could input into what you would like to see on that agenda. We have and will bring to the Council next week a schedule of upcoming items, and that will give you an indication as to what is planned for the first agenda of the Strategic Directions Committee meeting in February.
Thank you. And in that context, I note that there are five continuing members and, including myself, eight new members to Council. So in these matters of setting an agenda for the first committee meeting, obviously we look to the continuing members for some guidance. Councillor Hull.
Question, Mr Mayor. You might find it strange that I would raise something that the previous mayor was an advocate for, but I do see it as an opportunity that, given that we've got a casual vacancy on this committee with the independent members, that somebody with a bent towards health issues and public health in particular could be an opportunity to actually fill that spot. Because it's interesting that the genres that we've actually picked from the men that we've picked, and we may end up with a woman, God help us. I'm being flippant, by the way. I would welcome a woman very much. I think that all the men that we've had have actually offered a lot of stuff outside their genre. And I think that that it is an opportunity, and maybe we should have a bit of gender injection into this as well.
Well, thank you, Councillor Hull. That's your second contribution on the motion, and I don't want it to go off into a general discussion about sort of who we might have on the committee and so on. I think that's something, one of those issues that would benefit from an informal discussion and tossing ideas around the table, and probably tonight's not the night. But I do welcome any other contributions before we put the motion. Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had an idea that perhaps if we all had a mini brief from the organisation in general on the connection with the year 2040 strategic plan, as far as planning into the strategic directions is concerned, in order to create relevance right from the start.
Yes, for the benefit of public in the gallery, a lot of work has gone into a plan for Marion in 2040 and the sort of values and the sort of place that we want to live in. And it's a good point. It's all very well to have a 2014 objective, but what does that mean in terms of us planning strategy next year? And I see that staff have made a note of that point, so it would be a good point to raise in one of our elected member forums. Thank you, Councillor Gard. Any other comments before we put the motion? All right, I put the motion. All those in favour, all those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. We now turn to another important committee of Council, and that's the Audit Committee. Did you have a question or moving the motion? Would you like to move a motion, Councillor Telfer?
And I put up some alternate wording for the motion I'd like to move.
Yes, please proceed. Staff are ready to make note of what you have to say.
Thank you. The motion that I'm moving is in the tenet of what's already there, but I'm moving that that we establish the audit committee subject to the review of the audit committee in the July quarter, so that while we're no longer quite so new, we can look at moving forward and how it can be effective and resource effective. And I've also suggested that the word in the terms of reference needs to be at least biannually to allow for that having a look in the July quarter. Further down, I've just thanked Cathy Cooper for her term as it expires now, and I look forward to an external appointment. And I do that because best practice for auditors is to have a new auditor for the council every 5 years. Ms. Cathy Cooper's done well over that. It's time for new and refreshing eyes. So I so move.
Councillors are always free to move it in an amended form or as they wish. So that's moved by Councillor Telfer. Is there a seconder? Seconded Councillor Hutchinson. Is there any discussion? It's wonderful that we're starting off so agreeable. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's all. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. I beg your pardon, was there... I beg your pardon, I didn't see council staff noted it wasn't unanimous, but it has been passed. Thank you.
With your leave, Your Worship, just I would have liked a little bit more continuity with the three independent members. That's the reason I did not support it. So.
I see. Of course, you're welcome to raise such a point after it's seconded, but before we take the vote. But on this occasion, we're all feeling our way, so that comment is appreciated. We'll move on to the next item, which is in relation to the Development Assessment Panel. Members of the public may know that there's a Development Assessment Panel to make the planning decisions. By law, there are four independent panel members and three elected members of the DAP, and so we're determining members of the DAP for approximately the next year, and I look for a motion accordingly. And there's a motion from Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I would like to move that Council appoints Councillor Appleby, Councillor Carey and Councillor Westwood.
Do you wish to speak to the motion? Is that seconded? Seconded Councillor Pryor. Any discussion? Yes, Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to mention that this is another opportunity to correct a situation in the City of Marion that's been, in my opinion, inappropriate for a long time, and that is the secrecy attached to our DAP. The only DAP in the Adelaide metropolitan environs that operates and behaves in the fashion that ours does. I can only hope that the three people that we're going to vote on tonight will actually have picked up on community expectations. It certainly featured in my manifesto when I ran for council. I believe that I've got a mandate to actually say what I'm saying now on behalf of the community, that they expect more transparency. They expect to have the same transparency that exists in every council surrounding us. And I just want to seize every opportunity to impart to you all what my community expects. So I just hope that with the new membership, and that's the only way that this can be changed. We cannot, as a council, impose our will on that committee to change it. It has to come from within. It's for that reason, Mr. Mayor, that I don't go on it. I cannot possibly go on a committee that behaves in such a fashion and hold my head up in the community that I represent.
The comments. As to the matter of confidentiality, then, that'll be a matter for the DAP to decide. Motion, however, I can put. All those in favour, say aye. Or raise your hand, I should say. All those against, say no. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We turn now to the elected member expense facilities and support policy. This is another of those matters that was discussed over the weekend, and new members in particular felt that there was a need for review of the policy, but I point out that a policy of this nature must be adopted at the first meeting of the council. So there's been extremely little opportunity for the new members in particular to speak with the with the continuing members and to decide what an appropriate policy would be. And hence it was considered important that we pass a motion tonight, but review the situation not too far into the future. With those comments, I ask if there's someone to move the motion.
I'm happy to move this.
Councillor Valescu?
I think as far as from an accounting point of view, having everything submitted within 6 months is good, because it's better for the people in the finance team. I think that it's very prudent to allow people the opportunity to see if they do wish to claim any expenses, if they feel that's appropriate. Obviously, that's our individual decision. I think in 6 months' time, I think everyone will be in a position to make some comments, keeping in mind that, you know, it's there to support us, but it is the residents' money.
Motion, all those in favour. Seconder, Councillor Kerry. You weren't seconding. Oh, you were voting. I might have misheard. Might have misled you. I'm getting an indication from the gallery, which I should probably ignore, but. We've got an extra dot point on the screen, but we're going to just live with it. So that was seconded, Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour, raise your hand. No, I beg your pardon. Councillor Hull was speaking to the motion.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question first up. Does this motion include reference to Appendix 1? Are we adopting Appendix 1?
We are adopting Appendix 1, which reflects, as I understand it, the previously adopted elected member policy.
Well spotted, Mr. Mayor. And that, for that reason, I'll be speaking strongly against this. And I'm somewhat surprised that we haven't actually taken up the wisdom of our discussions on Sunday. And I was hoping that I could sit here quietly and vote for an appropriate policy. And I'm disappointed that I actually have to speak up, because by voting on this tonight, we are actually adopting the past practices of the previous council in terms of what the community see as outrageous possibilities for expense claims. If, for example, one of our members moves outside the council area, And I really urge you all to reconsider your position. For those who went door-knocking and heard firsthand the outrage of our community, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to put it right and
Councillor Hull, put it behind us.
Just
briefly ask you for clarification. Because as I've been advised that Council has to pass an elected member expense policy tonight.
Yep.
So can I ask you if you have an amendment to the motion?
Mr Mayor, the amendment would be simply that the travel expenses are simply from within the boundaries of the City of Marion, with the exception of those meetings in the city where you might go and go to an elected member's training session on the Ombudsman and the ICAC, fine. Or go down to Peddlers Creek for a meeting for the Southern Region Waste Authority, fine. Or if you go interstate to a conference and you have to catch a cab from Mascot into the Sydney CBD, fine. But not on a regular basis to convey yourself in the plushness of leather all the way to wherever you might think that you might want to relocate yourself. The ratepayers of the city will not cop that. And like I say, I was advised tonight just to simply just sit here and vote. And I am disappointed that I have to speak up. And I urge you all to reconsider this motion and to actually take up the point that I've made about those provisions about travel with inside the council boundary.
Councillor Hull, I may be able to assist you. Council staff have seen this coming to some extent, given our discussions over the weekend. As I understand it, there is some wording in line with what you've been suggesting, and there are two ways of proceeding. Either it could proceed by way of an amendment from you, or the mover and seconder could incorporate changes into the motion, which would then become the motion without need of amendment. And so, by deleting dot point one in item 4.1 of appendix one, I'm advised that that would address your concern, Councillor Hull. But Councillor Valescu, did you have a question or wanted to speak on the motion? Yes, I'm okay. Quite happy to give members a bit of time because when we do things on the run, it's important to have a look at it.
So we'd just be deleting dot point one, prescribed meeting. Is that what we're deleting? Okay. Up to a maximum of $50 per return journey outside. Okay. All right.
Can I ask Cathy Jarrett to speak to that, please?
Yes, thank you. Through the Mayor. If Council deletes dot point one in item 4.1 of Appendix 1, which is on page 93 of your agenda, that will remove the discretionary provision within this policy for the reimbursement of travel costs outside of the Council area. It has the effect that the provisions of the Local Government Act, the standard provisions of the Local Government Act apply in terms of the reimbursement of travel costs, and that discretionary ability to reimburse travel costs outside of the council area up to $100 up to 100 kilometres or $50 will be removed. Of course, Council, by including also dot point two, that is to review the elected members' expenses and benefits policy by June 2015, can revisit that particular issue. So, just in summary, you are maintaining the basic provisions which are contained within the Local Government Act in terms of the reimbursement of travel expenses. You're taking out that discretionary ability to claim expenses, and you can review that provision within the review process by June 2015.
Does that help you? Councillor Valescu, does that help you?
Oh, because I don't claim
No, sorry. Does
that's
it help?
Yes, does, it does.
Ms. Jarrett's contribution
yes.
help
yes,
understand?
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, it helps me. I think that this resolves the matter. the discretionary capacity of that bit was actually an indiscretion.
Well, I'm not sure if that was an appropriate comment to make, Councillor Hull. So just cool it. And I ask whether the mover and seconder of the motion are happy to adopt that alteration. And just to underline then, it removes an element of discretion, and in terms of vehicle travel at least, keeps it to the minimum set out in the local government regulations. Questions or comments? Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, yes, just for the benefit of those in the gallery, I think it's very important in the light of Councillor Howell's passionate viewpoint, which is fair enough, that it be understood that there was great debate on this on the weekend, and it was the intention of all councillors to the man that this thing be sorted out so that it is satisfactory to the ratepayer. I think that's a very important point. This is a new council. We want ratepayers to know that we want to do the right thing at the right time, and that we'll stick by proper procedure. One of the important things with this is that it can be reviewed. We made the point of saying that we needed to make provision for the matter to be reviewed in several months' time. And that gives us double cover if we do find out that there are further issues that we hadn't thought of. So this is something that we are very passionate about as a group. And I wouldn't like it to be thought that we were being rash in our decision to vote on the original motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. As the seconder, I think I need to agree to this as well, which I actually don't, and my reason is that I just feel like I've just been caught on the hop a little bit here. Look, I mean, one way to go is for someone to move an amendment, but I'm happy to withdraw my seconding if someone else wants to second it.
Just want to add that we did speak about this at length, and as you can see, there's it would be very difficult to start wording an actual addition to this policy. I think the fact that the discretion has been removed and it will be properly discussed and reviewed in June 2015 is the proper way to go, and that's why I'm seconding it.
The deletion of the discretion element that was found to be objectionable by some, at least, in the last council era. Are there any other speakers to the motion? If there aren't, I'll put the motion. All right. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried. But... Right, we move on. Now, we deal with the issue of who is to act in the absence of the Chief Executive Officer. Elected members have a motion in front of them. Is the motion to be moved with the names of staff or as it is? Just as it is. Very good. We'll have a mover of the motion. Councillor Valescu moves. Any seconder to the motion? Councillor Byram? Or any speakers? Councillor Hull?
Question. Just for the public record, and maybe perhaps that the answer be recorded in the minutes, that the question being, will any director acting in the high position of Chief Executive Officer be paid any additional monies for that period of acting in high position?
Mr. Searle, can you answer that?
Mr. Mayor, our current practice is not to pay high duties for directors acting as the CEO, obviously, while I'm on leave. And that will remain the practice.
whilst I understand that the directors have a unique role and responsibility, when people are filling in for the directors, are they given the opportunity, are they paid the high duties whilst they're acting the position, or do the directors have to do it all?
I've just checked with my directors, and no, they're not paid high duties. Just by way of explanation, it's actually seen as a career opportunity, so it's a training opportunity is the way it's put in the organisation, so that opportunity to act in a more senior position. It's usually not for long periods of time, and so you don't normally carry the full responsibilities of the position, but it gives somebody an opportunity to extend their skill base, and we're looking at it as a career development move, and it's treated as such.
Or the substance of the answer that was given won't, as a matter of course, be recorded in the minutes, but Councillor Hall has asked the substance of the answer to be so recorded. It can be done by leave of the meeting. Is there leave of the meeting to do so? I think you just need to raise your hands if you agree. And raise your hand if you... I count five. Raise your hands if you don't agree. Four. I think we better do that again and clearly, because, you know, do we have leave of the meeting for... that? This is the matter of staff acting up in positions being not being paid extra. Now, do we want that recorded in the minutes or not? If you do, then raise your hand, please. One, two... Yeah, we've got about 3, 6, 8 in favour. Those against, 3. So that will be recorded in the minutes. Now, I think we're up to... Is there any other further... discussion or questions? Have another go, Councillor Vasco.
Thanks, Your Worship. This question is just that we will clarify it's to do with filling in for the CEO's position, not an opportunity that may arise for high duties throughout another situation in the organisation.
No, that's correct. My understanding is more junior might be put up in the award. There will be positions in the organisation that are... and other levels where there's acting and there's higher duties that are associated with those positions. But for the positions of directors, there's no higher duties, and position of managers who are acting for directors.
And therefore there's a separate corporation set up to do that, and it has been the practice for an elected member to serve on the board of that authority, among other things, running the Peddler Creek dump, is that right? So we have a motion before us, and we are looking to appoint a staff member, an elected member, and a deputy to the elected member. So I'm looking for someone to so move. Councillor Hull?
The council staff member was Mr. Mifsud, was that right? Yep. And the deputy was... Councillor Kerry. Okay. Yep, that's it. If I may, Mr. Mayor, I'm sure you didn't mean to disparage in any way this committee by saying it's the dump.
No. I said among other things, the business of the authority is to manage the Peddlers Creek dump.
Sure. Yeah. What I'd like to do is actually point out how important this is and how historically important it is to the council, because when it was set up many years ago by the city of Brighton, Glenelg, Marion and could have been Happy Valley back in that day, and maybe one other, because all the councils have actually, a lot of them have combined, they have actually put this council in a very good spot, because we've got a waste recovery and waste disposal facility very close to the city. That actually has had its lifetime prolonged through innovation. And the benefit of that is that it means that we don't have to pay to have our waste carted some distance, because once that closes, it's going to be a challenge for the council of the day as to where the waste goes, and I would suggest it will have to be freighted some distance, and the cost involved with that. The facility also has a resource recovery function as well, including gas, and a small cogeneration plant down there that's producing electricity. So it actually is quite, and if you ever get the opportunity to go down there on a tour, please do it, because it is part of our operations, and it actually has returned a dividend, financial dividend, to the council in recent years. So, you know, there's more to this, and I'm not suggesting you were being light-hearted about it at all, Mr. Mayor, but I just thought I'd seize the opportunity for the benefit of the new members as the critical importance of this particular dump.
And we thank you for that information. Thank you, Councillor Hull. Any other contributions? We should have a seconder first, I suppose. Councillor Valescu. Any further discussion? If not, then I put the motion. Raise your hand if you're in favour. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we turn to corporate reports for noting. Deal with each one of these individually. Okay. First, there's the finance report for October 2014. I'm looking for a motion. Raylene, Councillor Telfer.
Accepted, and I've got a couple of questions that maybe I'll wait till there's a seconder. All right. My questions are about the two major projects, the Cove Sports and the City Services redevelopment. I'm interested, given that one is $10 million of loan or borrowings and the other's $14 million of borrowings. What is the life of those borrowings, because the community sees them as large amounts of money and it having a big impact on next year's budget and rates? Can you assure us that the life of the repayments of those loans is large enough so that it doesn't have a huge impact in the next year?
To the Chair, just on the Cove Civic Centre, we've taken out two parcels of loans. One was for $5 million and one was for $4 million. We were splitting, trying to get a better rate. One is for a term of 10 years, and the second one is for a term of 15 years. And our intention is on the city services side, we haven't yet borrowed we have funding there to borrow of $12.6 million approved by councils to date. So we anticipate borrowing over a 15-year term for that.
Do I have a seconder for the motion? Councillor Valescu is seconding the motion and wants to speak.
The question, I believe in the past we were able to pay off those loans early. Will we have that option with these loans, or are they we've locked in the low rate based on the 15-year period.
Brownlow?
Through the Chair, they're actually fixed term loans, so there would be a penalising rate if we did pay them off early, but we did lock in the rate to establish in the low interest rate.
Very well. There was it Mr. Councillor Kerry? No? Yes?
Just ask what the rate is that we're paying.
Through the Chair, the... Give me that rate. The 4-year term, the 10-year term loan is at a rate of 5.8%, and the 15-year term loan is a rate of 6.25%.
Councillor Gard.
I'm not sure whether I'm on the right page here, but towards the end of, I think it is this report, there was a chart of... progress year to date, and year to date, concerning the overall capital expenditure, and I noticed on the y-axis it was saying millions of dollars. You picked up on that? Okay. Whereas it should have been thousands, is that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. A question about the other side of the coin, pardon the pun, is the return on our investments. What was the rate that we got for that, just for the benefit of the new members?
Not in front of me, but it was as reported through the last audit committee notes on the 14th of October. I can get that for you at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I wanted to do a comparison. Through social media, I've become aware of some of the returns for other councils, and I just wanted to do a comparison. Yeah. Thank you.
You'll get. Oh, we can. We're looking it up. It's on the internet, apparently. Any other questions or comments while we're waiting for that? Councillor Hull, what's your view? Do you want to wait for this answer? All right. Well, then we have a mover and seconder. I'll put the motion that the finance report be received. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Okay, we're looking at the strategic activities report. And I invite a councillor to move the recommended motion. Moved Councillor Pfeiffer. Is that, did you wish to speak to it? Is that seconded? Do you want to second it, Councillor Hull? Yeah, okay. Second it, Councillor Hull. And a question.
In the report, Mr. Vitz talks about the meetings with Clare Valley Park state government issue with groundwater contamination. We're aware that the report for public consumption will be available on the 6th of December. I have received calls even tonight from residents asking if the matter was going to be discussed here tonight. I was assured by council staff that it's not, and conveyed that back to the residents. But they are clearly anxious about it. And I just want to know whether this council will get any heads up in regards to the issue down there in Mitchell Park, Clare Valley Park, before the release of the public information.
I know that I received a report via Mr. Mifsud on staff in relation to the issue, but even the council IT staff weren't able to open the attachment
So perhaps Mr. Searle might have some more information.
I will need to check with Mr. Mifsud, but my understanding is that council will be advised as soon as the information will arrive, at the same time or immediately before the information is released to members of the public.
The document that I held up, Mr. Mayor, is actually the report pertaining to the Tonsley TAFE, which is an interesting read.
Be noted. Any other comments? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, say no. That's carried unanimously. Now we turn to questions with notice. And I'm advised by staff that the customary procedure with these is simply to take them as read and for the questions and answers to be inserted in the minutes. So I trust that members are satisfied with that procedure. And we'll move on. There are no motions with notice. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Hull.
Questions about notice relating to the questions on notice.
If you like.
I thank the councillor for the Warrapringa Ward for raising these questions. And they are answers that deserve to be considered. And if we are actually in a new age on this council, there's probably opportunities to actually seize upon the answers to see if we can actually save the ratepayers' money. For example, the question I would like to ask is, with city limits, is there an opportunity to save arguably $80,000 by having only two editions of the city limits in any one year? And these questions could be taken on notice.
It'll be a matter for the budget discussions, I suppose, won't it?
Well, it would be, clearly. And it's time to actually start to chew through those discussions.
Good question, and there's your answer.
Marion Learning Festival. We could have a look at that as well. Because as...
Well, Councillor Hull, it's not really a time for discussions at large on those issues. It's really, if you have any questions without notice, perhaps...
Well, the question is, can these collectively be looked at in terms of any potential cost savings?
I'd invite Mr. Searle to respond.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. They certainly can be, so we'll bring them all back to you. Together with other potential savings as part of the budget considerations.
Any other questions without notice? Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, just further on the City Limits magazine, I just had a question about non-delivery of those, because we're paying an amount for all of those that go out. And I do note that prior to the council election, that in the Southern Hills ward, most of those did not go out. What happens to the monies we've paid for those? Do we get a reimbursement for those that aren't delivered? What follow-up is there on the city limits that don't go out from the company that is doing it?
Thank you for the question. I'll ask Kate McKenzie of the governance team to respond.
Through the chair, yes, we were aware that some of the deliveries did not occur with the last edition of the city limits. We followed that up with the distributor, and we have received or will be receiving some reimbursements in regards to those costs where we could establish that those deliveries did not occur.
So perhaps that's one of those issues where between the councillor and staff some information could be transferred about where deliveries didn't take place, and then staff can advise Councillor Byram, at least, perhaps others, about the amount of the reimbursement, just by email in between meetings.
Were any City Limits magazines distributed in the city of Holfast Bay?
Ms McKenzie?
Through the chair, yes, we did receive some complaints that some were delivered in outside of the city boundaries, yes, and we did follow that one up with the distributors as well.
I know my experience when I was sending out massive quantities of mail was that the commercial delivery companies got it wrong about 1 in 3 occasions on a massive scale. Councillor Hutchinson, you had a question.
Oh, the only question was that the suburb of Glandore was captured in that as well.
Yeah, the ones that we've received feedback on, the ones that we're aware of, yes, they were certainly followed up.
I'd suggest to all councillors then, if you in the past or in the future have a knowledge of City Limits magazine not being delivered, send it through to Ms McKenzie and she'll take appropriate action, I trust. Councillor Gard.
Yes, just from a marketing point of view, I do feel that there's an opportunity here to test ratepayers as to how they would like to receive the content of City Limits, whether it would be preferred in electronic form or in the more expensive physical handout option. The other aspect is that, from my experience, direct letterbox dropping is often checked or audited on a sample basis to assert that the actual distribution has been near enough to complete. So that might be another thing that we could ask of the distributor. I'm not sure just whether they would appoint an arm's length person or a party to do that or not, but there are those two issues. There could be some cost savings there.
I'll take that as a question which staff can take on board. Any other questions without notice? Councillor Vescu.
City Limits. Are we going to be looking at what's comprised in the magazine, and whether we look to change the format or change the style of the information provided?
Councillor Velescu, that question, or the answer to that question, is in the hands of the council itself, and perhaps that's something that you could take up with our media manager, Craig Clark. Clearly that's sort of an editorial question, and there might be various options. That might be a matter for an elected member's briefing. It's certainly a topic worth discussion. Any other questions without notice? Councillor Gard.
Just to add to my last question, the double header about asking people on how they would like to receive the information is that you can ascertain who might be more active as a reader as well from the way that they respond to that.
Now, we've had some latitude this evening, partly because I only half know what I'm doing and partly because we've only been going for an hour. But I do stress that this segment of the meeting is for questions without notice, and it should really be questions that have arisen from material that's come up during the meeting. It's actually not the time for a general discussion about a topic, even helpful suggestions which we have received about an interesting topic. Those things inevitably have to take place outside the meeting, and then they can come back to the meeting in a more formal process. Are there any other questions without notice that couldn't have been thought of before the meeting? Very well, we'll move on to motions without notice. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move a motion that Council Administration maintain a portfolio of questions or motions that pertain to financial savings, and that Council can at any time add to that portfolio for review at budget time. I'll speak to the motion while that's being typed up. Obviously, it was evident with my questions with notice this time that I'd like those to be noted and recorded as potential areas that we might want to look at a future point in time. As a forewarning, there will be more questions that that I'd like to add to that portfolio that we can review at a later point. And I think it's a good opportunity that we have a central repository of what we think potentially we might want to look at. And individual councillors can make that decision, not necessarily the whole group, and that as a group we will then work through that portfolio. I think that's a sensible way forward.
Right, now you've moved a motion and spoken to it. In my view, this is a motion that could have been a motion on notice. It hasn't really come out of... Maybe there's at a stretch you could say it's come out of some of the information provided tonight, but really it's the sort of thing that it would help staff and help your fellow councillors if this was written out, you had the opportunity to word it just the way you want it, and we all have an opportunity to reflect on the written wording. Now, staff have sketched what you've moved. Again, because it's the first meeting and it's still relatively early, I'm inclined to accept the motion. But can I say two things about motions without notice? First of all, if it is something that could have been brought before the meeting, then I do reserve the right to disallow such motions and simply invite the member to bring it back formally to the next meeting on notice, because it just gives everyone an opportunity. Secondly, if you're going to move a motion without notice, can you at least please write it out during the meeting on a scrap of paper if need be, or email it if you want to Ms. McKenzie, who's sitting up here next to me, just so that staff do completely capture what you want to say. And again, that's being fair to fellow councillors as well. So I'm glad you moved that motion, Councillor Hutchinson, because it gave me the opportunity to lay some ground rules like that. But would you
like... Thank you, Your Worship. I'm happy to withdraw it for now, and I'll wordsmith it and bring it back to the next meeting. It's not an urgent item.
It'll probably come back even better, Councillor Hutchinson, so that'll be good. Are there any other... or any motions without notice? Councillor Telfer.
That elected members thank staff for their induction training on the weekend.
That's right, I'll accept the motion. Did you want to speak to it, Councillor Telfer?
I found the weekend very beneficial. I am grateful for the staff input and the fact that we didn't go out to consultants, and I look forward to working forward.
Thank you for the endorsement of my decision that staff should present rather than consultants. I'm not sure that senior staff who were there appreciated my suggestion, but it worked out well. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Westwood, did you want to speak to the motion? Does anyone want to speak to the motion? Councillor Valescu?
I think that it was really sort of, it was getting down to business. I think we had a little bit of a time where we introduced ourselves, we talked about what we wanted, and we started working through our agenda. And compared to the previous half an hour session that I went to, because I was sick of the last time, I think it was a lot better, because it wasn't about just sort of ideas that went nowhere. It was about, this is where we're at, this is what we want to achieve. And I think it's a really good starting point. So thanks to everyone involved.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Ditto. Any other comments? I would like to add to that from the Chair that I really appreciated the staff contribution to the weekend. Elected members, I thought, came together really, really well. And for those members of the public who weren't aware of the details, we met from 9 o'clock to 3.30 on Saturday and 11 a.m. to 3.30 on the Sunday, including lunch together. and it really was down to business, and there were a couple of pages of action points for staff to take away to either bring back in terms of further information that we required as a group, or indeed preparation of motions to bring back to council. So it was highly productive. And there's one more matter which gives me cause to especially salute elected members. We agreed on the weekend to informally sort out how positions on the various committees and panels should be filled. Part of the reason for that was to save an hour or more at this meeting, because in the past, where there had been multiple nominations, the nominees would speak for up to 3 minutes and so forth. We therefore took an informal vote on the weekend, and so we've had only one nominee for each of the positions that have been discussed earlier in the meeting. But all of that was carried on with a great deal of goodwill and professionalism, and while it might have been more colourful to have had that played out in the council chamber, it would have dragged on, it would have been inefficient, and I think we actually did a service to the community and ourselves by sorting it out amicably over the weekend. So I thank everyone for the way that that was conducted, and particularly to those councillors who will have those positions for the next year or so, and we'll be reviewing that in about a year's time. So thank you to everyone for what was a highly productive weekend. Yes, I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Are there any other motions without notice? There being none, we note that there are no confidential items discussed at this meeting. Councillor Hull, on that point?
Just on that point, once a year we have an opportunity to review confidential items. I understand that we will be having a good opportunity to do that at a forum before that meeting. It's something that did not happen last time all that well. I just want to put an emphasis on this. We do it every December, and it's an opportunity for us to maybe minimise some risk. When I'm talking about risk, I'm talking about public perception risk, in terms of the number of items we have in confidence, particularly when you juxtaposition that alongside the way we conduct our DAP.
Right, and just to respond to that, the councillor is aware that we are proposing to discuss a swag of hitherto confidential items at the elected members forum on 2nd of December, and then review confidentiality of items at the council meeting of 9th of December. Very well, we'll proceed to close the meeting. Thank you.